Howdy. Salutations.
Greetings.
Hey, we all said different things.
Excelsior.
Excelsior. All right, so this is not just a podcast about different ways to introduce yourself to people.
What is it then?
This is the 18th? I had to look, the 18th Big Planet Comics podcast. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a whole lot.
I'd be curious how many podcasts we've already outlasted in their attempts to keep going.
Well, we do one a week, which is pretty amazing. But enough patting ourselves on the back. Let's see. Who do we have here? We have Jared the Zinester Smith.
Yo.
Yeah.
We have Nick, formerly Batty Boy, now Birthday Boy Liapis.
Woo.
Yep, yep.
Oh, and I didn't think of a nickname for myself. I'll just be Kevin Super Bass Panetta, just because I like the song Super Bass, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
And you play bass?
I do. I do play bass.
There you go.
Oh,
all ties together.
All right. So, Jared, why don't you tell people a little bit about why I call you the Zinester?
Oh, you're messing with the panels. I thought you were going to do sound effect.
No, everything's fine. Just roll with it.
I went down to the Richmond Zine Fest. Don't know how many years I've been doing it, but it's the first year I've been down. It was held at the Gay Community Center or Gay Rights Community Center.
Sounds like a happy place.
Yeah, it was very rainbow colored. I was very happy as well. But yeah, it was really cool. They didn't use the whole space, but a lot of people showed up and they had a pretty good selection of stuff. And it was, in one room, more cool people that are pretty much in the entire DC area.
So how many people do you think had some zines there?
Probably 60 or 70 people. That was a good selection.
Some mini comics and stuff too?
There were a few comics, a lot more just straight up zines and like, you know, how to, you know, work for workers' rights and like, you know, fight against the man and stuff like
commie
that.
Stuff.
I can dig it.
It was good times.
Power to the zinesters.
But yeah, some good stuff.
Yeah, sounds cool. And like
solid.
A lot of mini comics.
Not so many.
No.
That's sad.
That's a sad story.
I bought a few of them, though.
That's but there's an awesome magazine about... another magazine. Whoa.
A zine.
A half magazine.
There's a zine about bad movies, which is pretty
incredible. I love bad movies. It's the name of the zine, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's very cool. We were just flipping through it. It's got a bunch of cool stuff in it. And Nick, I guess it's pretty obvious why you're a birthday boy.
Why is that?
Because I'm naked.
It's true. It's because Nick always does this podcast in his birthday suit.
Yeah. We have mistakes, it's because the rest of our eyes are closed, so we don't look over
there. It's true. It's definitely true. All right. So, we've got all our stuff that we always say at the beginning of the show.
Like what?
Like, you can check us out on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's still a page that exists.
Zing.
Probably for a long time. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.
You should do it.
You may already be doing it.
Whoa.
But if you are already doing it, leave us a review on iTunes, a good review.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know if it helps, but maybe it does.
You could rate us 5 out of 5 stars.
And big news, we're on Twitter now with many exclamation points.
Just skip the beat.
Yeah. We're at Big Planet Comics.
Surprisingly, that is it.
Yep. And that's Jared doing that.
Yep.
So if it's weird, don't blame us.
Yeah, sorry. I'm trying.
But yeah, so follow us on Twitter.
Send us tweets.
Yeah, send us tweets. We want to have more people than Ashton Kutcher. More followers.
He's not following us or following him.
Oh, I don't know. I follow official at official 2.5. That is not true at all. All right. So finally, because we don't have a gazillion things to review this week, we actually have some news. So let's get into some news here. All right. So let's start off with a new comic that's coming out that's very exciting. This is Archie Meets Kiss.
Wow.
Yeah, let me read this.
Okay.
Is it called Running with the Devil?
It's no, that's Van Halen.
It's not Kiss, but
yeah. But they are devils. Yeah, well, at least Gene Simmons is the demon.
I figured it'd be some kind of music.
Who are the other
joke
ones? Peter Criss is a cat. Ace Frehley is like the star child.
Sure.
Yeah. And I can't remember what Paul Stanley is.
He's just Paul Stanley.
He's just Paul Stanley. He's the stand man.
He's the guy nobody likes.
So this says the band will visit Archie and the gang during the midst of a supernatural invasion that sees Riverdale overrun with monsters and zombies.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, that seems pretty crazy. It notes that it's produced in full cooperation with Kiss's Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons. So this isn't like them just deciding to use Kiss and not asking for permission.
That'd
and
be much cooler.
It starts in November's issue number 627.
The weird thing is, though, like, really, if you had, like, Riverdale's overrun by monsters, wouldn't you want Frankencastle instead of Kiss to come help?
Well, Archie did meet Punisher once, so it would certainly seem to fit.
I mean, this goes along. I mean, they already met Justin Bieber and Obama and Sarah Palin.
Oh, God.
Did they meet Justin Bieber? I heard that they had a comic with a gay character in it, but.
And Kevin just lost every member of our audience.
No, I like Justin Bieber more than you guys do.
True.
Is he Canadian? He seems Canadian to me.
Maybe.
He must be Canadian. Yeah. Okay, so it's going to be 4 issues, 1 for each member of Kiss, I assume.
Except for the 2 who didn't authorize it.
And then the other members of Kiss who are not in Kiss anymore. But All right, yeah, so that's that.
All right, news.
I think we'll definitely be reviewing that when it comes out, though. That's, oh, yes. That one seems like it'll be fun. All right, so on a more, well, I don't know how sad it is because he is 84, but Alberto, or just Albert, I guess, Uderzo, just retired from doing Asterix.
He's 84.
He was 84.
That's probably a good time to retire from drawing comics.
That's what. That's how old we're all going to have to be when we retire, because there's going to be no social security left. Yeah, he's been doing Asterix since 1959.
That is a lot of Asterix.
Wow.
That is a lot of Asterix, yeah. He's definitely slowed down in the last few years.
That's true.
But he's 84.
Yeah.
So it's bound to happen. Yeah. You guys like Asterix, right? Jared, you grew up in Europe part of the time as a child, right?
A little bit, yes.
So you probably read a lot of Asterix.
I did. I read all of them.
What language did you read it in?
What language? English.
Oh, I read it in Greek, so there.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
He's got some European background there.
And Lucky Luke.
I seriously did not read Asterix until like 2 years ago.
Well, what did you like it? Reading as an adult?
As an adult? No, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it's goofy, but it's educational at the same time.
It's true.
And it's really violent.
It is really violent.
But in a, you know,
cartoony way.
Yeah, like in a Looney Tunes way, but the kind that still probably makes parents mad because they're dummies.
Nobilix likes food.
He does. But yeah.
Uderzo is just such a good artist, like, still. I mean, he was getting beat by other people as he got to the last few books, but, like, he is just an amazing cartoonist.
To be 84, a lot of these guys kind of lose it after a while, but he's still great. I mean, it seems like a lot of the European guys actually kind of keep their stuff together, because Mobius is still fantastic.
Yeah,
we were talking last week about Jacques Tardy.
Yeah.
Still amazing. So, if you want to be a good comic artist, move to Europe.
Yeah.
Or just be European.
Or just be European. And that, if you're not, well, sorry.
Good luck.
All right. So moving on. This is kind of a two-part news story. So the first part is that DC has an exclusive deal for digital comics with the new Kindle Fire, the new Amazon reading device.
All right.
And they have 100 exclusive graphic novels that they're distributing through this device.
Okay.
And they are, well, not, I'm not going to name all of them, but just because this will be important to the second part of this, I wanted to, I took some of the big ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
All-Star Superman, American Vampire, Arkham Asylum, Dark Knight Returns, Long Halloween, Year One, or Batman Year One, Blackest Night, Day Tripper, Fables, How to Understand Israel in 60 Days, Kingdom Come, Planetary, Superman Earth 1, The Joker Hardcover, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Sandman, Unwritten, V for Vendetta, Watchmen, We 3, Why the Last Man.
Wow.
And quite a few more.
But that's kind of the best of the best.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely all their big stuff.
Yeah.
And so what happened in reaction to this, Barnes & Noble, because Kindle is an Amazon device,
right,
is pulling all of those books from their stores.
That'll show them.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I mean, I even saw pictures online of, like, a worker just, like, pulling Watchmen and Batman Year One and stuff off the shelf.
Crazy.
Which is pretty crazy. So that means you can't get any of that. You can't go into a Barnes & Noble now and get Watchmen.
Why would they do that? I can understand they're pissed about it, but how does that help at all? That seems like it's just shooting yourself in the foot to spite the face of a person you don't like.
Yeah, it does seem very petty, but it could also be, you know, I mean, that's probably a very small amount of their sales. So if they want to prove a point, you know, they can do it.
We're not going to let any more kids read these comics on the floors of our stores for free.
And then just today, Books A Million did the same thing. They pulled all the books from their shelves as well. Yeah.
Good for them.
So
what did Borders do?
Exactly.
No.
But the thing with Books A Million, they don't even have a digital reader. I can understand Barnes & Noble being mad. They have the Nook or whatever. But Books A Million, they don't really have a dog in this fight.
God, can they still? I guess they can still call themselves Books A Million.
Yeah, now
all their stores put together.
Yeah, now their books 999,900. Yeah, they had exactly a million books before, but
awkward.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting. So if you want to buy Watchmen,
buy it from us.
You gotta come to Big Planet Comics, or get it off Amazon for a lot cheaper. Oops. All right, so that's that. Another quick thing: Walking Dead's coming back this Sunday.
The TV show, you mean?
The TV show.
The Walking Dead are coming back.
Again.
They're coming back. Yeah, so just in case people didn't know.
I was only vaguely aware. I knew it was soon.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought it was Halloween because that's what it was last time. So, I'm excited. It's going to be a little bit different, maybe a different showrunner and stuff like that, but
hopefully awesome.
It's still one of the better comic book adaptations probably of all time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's coming back.
Sweet.
And then our last little bit of news. I'm going fast this week because the last couple podcasts have been really long.
Overwhelmingly long.
Yeah, yeah. But the last little bit of news this week is New York Comic Con is this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In New York.
In New York. I'm going.
Oh, really?
Not me.
No?
Nick has to work.
Oh, right.
He probably wouldn't be going anyway.
No, probably not.
Probably not. But yeah, so there are a bunch of people. I just have lists. This whole episode is just going to be reading off lists of things.
That's what we do.
Yeah, so so here's some of the comics people that are going to be there.
This is an order of importance.
That'd be, try and rank them.
It is kind of in order of importance.
The ones that you're most excited about, you wrote down first.
Why put Robert Kirkman first? So
that's pretty good.
So Robert Kirkman, Jason Aaron, Jeff Johns, Matt Fraction, Frank Miller. I should have put that at the bottom. Garth Ennis, Frank Quitely, Jim Lee, Stan Lee, father and son, and Scott Snyder. And, of course, a bazillion other people.
Yep.
So those are good. And then I have a list of actual famous people that are going to be there. Because people who make comics aren't
like
famous.
Like real life famous?
Right. I'd say Stan Lee would belong also on this second list.
Yeah, probably.
The only one, probably.
Yeah, he's basically the only one. Chris Elliott is the first one I have on here.
Yes.
Chris Evans, who is, of course, Captain America. Carrie Brownstein from Sleater-Kinney and
Portlandia.
David Cross from the board game Crossfire, and he was also in Criss Cross.
Tonight's episode of Modern Family.
Was he?
Yeah.
No. Frankie Muniz from
Malcolm in the Middle.
Agent Cody Banks.
Is that what that's called?
That's the one.
What was the one about the dog?
Kevin Smith, that guy who famously was too fat to fly on an airplane. Mark Hamill from Corvette Summer.
Yep.
Diamond Dallas Page, who is a wrestler. Grizz from 30 Rock.
Yes, Grizz.
And Kevin Sorbo.
Wow.
I guess the adventures continue, huh?
Yeah. The adventures definitely do continue. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a funny list of names.
That is a great list of
names. So, laugh it up.
The Sorbster.
Yeah, the Sorbster is going to be there. No Xena Warrior Princess this year, but I'm working with the people on the con trying to get her next year.
Good shit.
Yeah, cool. So, that's pretty much our news.
Some good news.
There was some good news. I feel like I just read that all really fast.
You did. Well done.
But we got some viewer mail, so let's do that.
Boom. Right.
Boom. Boom shakalaka. Oh, I just tried to do another sound effect and there wasn't one there. Okay. So our viewer mail this week is from Mark Miller.
Mark Miller?
Again, not to be confused with the Mark Miller.
This is the Mark Miller for us.
For us. Mark, you are the Mark Miller.
Yeah.
Even if the other Mark Miller has done all these wonderful things, you haven't really done much. You're still the Mark Miller for us.
He's emailed us a lot. That's doing.
He has emailed. Yeah. He's probably written more than Mark Miller actually has in the last few months because that guy cannot get his books out on time.
That is true.
But all right. So he says. So I'm writing. Okay. He said a lot of stuff, but basically he says, "What do we think of the Avengers trailer?"
Wow.
I'll write what he wrote. I'm writing
You'll
this
write
before.
What he wrote?
Yeah. I'll read it. It says, "So I'm writing this before it actually came out, but the new Avengers trailer is supposed to have come out today."
Uh-huh.
On the assumption that it will have by the time you record this podcast. What did you think of it?
It has, and we will talk about it.
Yeah. So we'll start with Nick.
Sorry. It was awesome. Yeah. It was great. I don't know much to say about it. It was a teaser trailer. There's no special effects really in it. Well, there's a little bit.
You
get to see Hulk a little bit.
There's some Iron Man.
There's some beams shooting around.
Yeah. Do you think those are Skrull beams?
Maybe.
Yeah. Nick is convinced that Skrulls are in this movie, and I hope that he's right.
I hope so. And also, there's some pretty cool shots of Cap fighting Thor and Thor and Cap fighting side by side, and Iron Man and Cap, and all of them kind of mixing together, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost unexciting because it's exactly what you want it to be and expect it to be. Yeah. So it's like you see it, and it's like, oh, cool. That's exactly what I expected it to be.
Yeah. Right.
But which is nice because it meets very high expectations.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, some of the dialogue they have in it is very funny.
Yeah.
Which is nice because it's got, you know, it's written by Joss Whedon. So it's nice to see that touch in there and to know these guys are going to be
banter.
Ribbing each other.
Joshing about.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But I think we all liked it. Right.
Yeah.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
So then he adds to this also, which is better, battleships or submarines? I feel like we'll have a lot more to say about this.
Well,
battleships get sunk more.
All right, let's go around. Everybody say a good thing about battleships. Jared.
If you want to seal up the harbor, they're good to sink.
Okay. Nick.
Potemkin.
No, that's valid. The board game. That's a good thing about battleships as well.
The movie coming out soon.
And the movie coming out soon. All right, now let's say good things about submarines. Jared.
There are a lot more movies about them. Good movies.
Like U-571.
Das Boot.
The movie Submarine. Which actually isn't about submarines, but it's a really good British movie that came out last
Crimson
year.
Crimson Tide. The Russians Are Coming.
Is there a movie called The Russians Are Coming?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe it's The Russians Are Coming. The Russians Are Coming.
Is that movie that Sarah Palin wrote about Paul Revere? yeah, so All right, so we did that. We did a kind of pros and cons, or not really. We just said things.
We did pros.
All right, but now let's go around the table and everybody make your choice. I'm going to be the tiebreaker. So, Jared?
Submarines?
All Kevin, right, break the tie.
Kevin, do it.
I'm breaking the tie. I'm going to say submarines.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah, it's unanimous. All right, so I read that email. I was like, oh, that was nice of Mark to send a question. And then he sent another email with another question.
Whoa. Three questions.
And I was like, this is a little bit much. but this is more of like this is a good one. Also, I have a niece in fourth grade. So he says also, assuming that I read the first email, who is a little bit interested in mythology. Do you have any recommendations of comics dealing with Greek or Roman mythology that would be age appropriate for fourth or fifth graders?
Ooh, wow.
It was an actual Percy Jackson comic.
Yep, that was one of the first ones that jumped into my mind. Scholastic put out a Percy Jackson comics this past year.
I forget who it was, but somebody's been putting out a series of Greek god comics. There's like a Zeus one.
Olympians is the name of the series.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and those are very cool.
Three of those, I think.
Yeah.
There's another one I think of, but it's not appropriate for a child.
Yeah, well, then that's not a good one to say. Were you going to say Olympus?
Yeah.
Which is a good comic for Mark, if you're listening, which I hope you are.
Maybe some Hercules comics?
Yeah, the Marvel stuff's weird.
Well, Hercules, Prince of Power, but it's so nerdy.
A lot of the newer ones have like Zeus and stuff in them.
Yeah, but they also have weird stuff in them that's not appropriate. But definitely, I think of the Percy Jackson book is okay. She's probably already read the novels, I would assume.
Right.
But those Olympians books are fantastic. So I would definitely say check those out.
Done.
Yeah, done.
I can't think of
question
any
answered. So if you want answers like that. To your questions, email us at podcast@bigplanetcomics.com. Yeah, we're going through this really fast. Well, I guess it's not that fast. We're 17 minutes in.
Yeah,
how are we 17 minutes in?
Pick up the pace.
Because you keep pausing to question our speed.
I thought of something then.
What's that?
We love comics, they're swell. Except when they're written by Scott Lobdell. I prefer important books like Louis Riel. It's time for reviews.
You know what that means, people.
What's that?
Caleb Dell is terrible.
It's time for reviews.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this.
Let's do it.
There's not as much stuff this week, which was actually kind of nice.
A relief.
I got to read comics that weren't on our list of comics to review.
Yep.
I got to, and there were some good ones this week, like Uncanny X-Force. The new issue was great. Amazing Spider-Man was fantastic.
It really was.
Ultimate Spider-Man number 3 was really good. I'm sure there were other good comics that we're not going to talk about that that are not Marvel comics as well, but
yeah.
All right, but let's get into this with something we've all been waiting for a very long time.
4 or 5 years, perhaps.
Has it been that long?
I want to say 2007.
Oh, wow. This is Black Metal Volume 2 by Rick Spears, who wrote Teenagers from Mars and Repo and a bunch of other things. And the art in this is by Chuck Beebe.
Yep.
Who invented the BB gun.
He did.
That was his grandfather.
Wait. Yes, that's what I meant. I meant it's his legacy.
Yeah, his family.
Yeah. All right, so Black Metal is... Well, I've been talking a lot because I've been trying to get through this. Haven't I? I feel like I have been.
You have.
Yeah. But Jared, why don't you tell people what Black Metal's about?
All right, so Black Metal 1 came out, a long time ago. This is book 2 of a trilogy, which we weren't sure we were going to see the rest of. And it's basically two brothers who are Sean and... What's the other kid's name?
Sam.
Thank you. Who are in middle school and are basically the craziest, most awesome Black Metal-loving kids in the whole planet, which... is especially ridiculous when you realize how young they are. And they have a nice new adopted mom and a cute little adopted brother who are nice, blonde, cute kids and totally don't get along with them. And they discover that the two twins are reincarnations of a demon from hell and are destined to go back and battle in hell against demons.
They listen to Frostax.
They do. That's how they got into this. That's how they got in the whole situation in the first place, is like they played a Frostax record backwards, I think.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And it sent them to hell. That was in the first volume. So now they're kind of,
it turns out that they're like destined to rule hell.
Yeah.
Together, and an ancient epic sword of power.
And that's mostly just the setup, but most of what this is big fights in hell.
Yeah, with crazy monsters. And it's a lot like we were talking about this earlier, a lot like the game Brutal Legend.
Yeah, it's very similar in tone.
Yeah,
and also in the setting, of course.
Yeah.
But then I would say it has a lot in common with something like Scott Pilgrim as well.
It really does.
In that there's kind of a little romance story in here as well that goes along with it.
Yeah.
But it's always fun.
And it's a lot more metal.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot more.
It's super metal.
Scott Pilgrim is not very metal
at
all.
It's got Odin and Thor in it.
Scott Pilgrim is like a Death Cab for Cutie song, and this is like an Iron Maiden song.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They, for example, I'm going to read some dialogue. They find... a future Frost X album called The Fall, which is, you know, it's stored in hell because it hasn't been written yet. And they play it, and, you know, the sound is so epic that one of them says, "So thunderous it hurts." The other one says, "I can feel my eardrums relent and burst. It's so much stronger than their earlier work. So grim, so pure, so true."
And then their faces literally get melted off right after that.
By the metal.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing. So I feel like that's all you really need to know about this. Yeah.
Except it has my highest possible recommendation.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious we're all in love with this
book. Yeah, this is the first thing I read this week. So.
Now, did you guys think this was as good as the first one?
Yes.
The first one had a little more shock value just because it was so unexpected, and this one definitely shifts tone a little bit, but it's going to be an awesome epic.
This one had a lot more story, and there was a lot more build up and a lot more action in it.
Yeah,
a lot
more action.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was very much like a second act, and the first one kind of took me by surprise, but yeah, this one,
yeah,
it definitely lives up. The quality is just as high, and it's a fantastic book.
And oh, what an ending.
Yeah, ending, this ends on a huge cliffhanger.
It's amazing,
which really stinks because it's probably going to be 3 years until the next book comes out, but it's good stuff. Definitely, if you haven't read the first one, check it out. If you have read the first one, this one's just as good, so get it. Unless you read the first one and didn't like it, but then that seems unlikely.
You shouldn't listen to our podcast because you're crazy.
All right, so Nick is picking up what is very obviously his favorite book of the week,
which I believe he wishes to quote from as well.
He does. Just keep it clean, buddy, because that book's got some foul stuff in it. But this is The Cabbie.
Volume one.
Oh, is this volume one?
Of two.
Oh, nice. This is by Marty, who probably haven't seen much by him, but he did a book called Calvario Hills.
He's a Spanish guy who's done a few things, but not, I mean, in English, very few has come out.
The Calvario Hills thing was one of those Ignatz books that Fantagraphics and Coconino Press put out like a couple years ago. But I'd say that book is nothing compared to The Cabbie.
No,
this book is incredible.
Nick, why don't you, this is all you, buddy. I will say I love this book, but
Nick, I enjoyed this immensely, but nowhere near as much as Nick did.
Well, the I knew it was in for something good when the introduction by Art Spiegelman kind of calls him the modern day for back then, reincarnation of Chester Gould. And it's like, it talks about how it's influenced like a lot of movies, like by like Scarface from like 30s and like Taxi Driver and stuff like that.
Very much by Taxi
Driver. Yeah, very much by Taxi Driver. But why don't you tell me what it's about? Yeah.
But basically it's about a cabbie,
right?
Who is kind of like he's not really a superhero. He's like the guy in Taxi Driver. He wants to take out all these criminals. And so whenever it happens, he does. And I mean, it starts out with him getting some clients in the car and they're going to get robbed and he saves them and sends this guy to jail. And that turns into this crazy story where the guy goes to jail. His son gets free. His son is in the jail and he gets out and he decides to take revenge on the cabbie. And then it's a series of people taking revenge on each other. But it's so crazy that I couldn't believe how insane this is. I was just like laughing every like three pages. There's a part where this girl is huffing paint. And she decides to get in the cabbie's car with her friend and play around with buttons, except his cab is equipped with tear gas and electrocuting machines. And God, it's so crazy. There's a part where like the whole story is basically about the cabbie. He has this inheritance that's in his dad's coffin, who they have in his house. Like his mom keeps his dad's coffin with his dad inside.
Yeah, it's full of stuff like that.
I would like to say that the cabbie's name is Cabbie Four Door Sedan.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so it's his Mr. full name. Four Door Sedan.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody has kind of like very obvious names. Like the little person pimp is named Little Put. I don't know. It's the craziest thing I've ever read.
Yeah, that's like the thing you mentioned about the dad. It's like, it'll just like, you'll turn the page and be like, oh yes, and my father, who's we've had embalmed in the other room since he died 20 years ago. It's just like stuff like that happens every three panels.
Yeah, and it's all crazy. It's like, you know, these people who live in the sewers and the cabbie's like this, I don't know. It's one of those books, we've talked about a couple other books like 1-800 Mice Informing, where it's like,
yes,
you kind of have to read it to kind of get what it's the feel of it is.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's absolutely insane.
Let me just read one of my favorite lines here. Well, the cabbie is always referred to as the cabbie in the narration, but in like every panel. But in this one, it says, "The gush of water from the main pipe carries the cabbie and the pieces of his father toward the exit."
It's awesome. Yeah, yeah, there are a lot more lines that we can't quote due to content.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up, and there's some crazy sexual things. There's some people getting buried in feces and it's insane.
It is definitely insane. And I think the Chester Gould thing is pretty apt. I mean, it's the art's similar to Chester Gould, who I should say is the guy that did Dick Tracy.
Right.
But then the early Dick Tracy comics were like really violent and unrelenting. And this book is definitely that too.
There's actually a panel in the introduction that's almost exactly copied in this. There's like a panel, from Dick Tracy where somebody with a Tommy gun is shooting somebody through the head. And this is like exactly like that in this book with like an Uzi. Yeah, it's the same angle and everything.
Definitely not like the Dick Tracy movie from from the 80s or whatever. But yeah, no, it's awesome. And it's absolutely insane.
It's definitely the best thing I read this week. And I loved Black Metal.
Oh, yeah. Black Metal was good. There was some other really good stuff this week, too.
Yeah, it's a good week.
All right, so moving on to... and we should say we all recommend that book.
Yes.
Not to everybody, but no. If that sounded good, it is good.
It is amazing.
All right, so moving on to the CBLDF Liberty Annual 2011. They do one of these pretty much every year. It's just like a benefit book for the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, which I think we've talked about them on the show before. But basically, what they do is they'll defend people who are being sort of treated unjustly in comics related cases because comics are kind of misunderstood.
They did defend the First Amendment rights in the U.S. for comic books and people related to comic book stuff.
Yeah, there have been a few famous cases. It's worth going on to CBLDF.org and looking at some of their case files and kind of getting an idea of what they do. But they're definitely a company worth supporting. But so this is just a collection of all new comics. There's a Grendel story in here that is, you know, good if you're a Grendel fan. I've never been a big Grendel guy, but there's some Frank Quitely stuff. There's some J.H. Williams. I mean, there's a lot of really good creators in here. For me, the big standout in this was there's a new Craig Thompson story in here.
Yeah, which is interesting because he's just drawing it and someone else wrote it.
Right. But I would say it's very similar in style to Habibi.
Yep.
And I would say this whole thing is worth buying just for that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's some other good stuff too. But.
And it's in color, so if you want to see some colored Craig Thompson stuff.
Yeah.
I will say, I wish that it was in black and white.
Really?
I think his work works a lot better in black and white. The coloring is good.
It was good.
Dave Stewart's a really good colorist. I mean, he works with Frank Quitely and other guys and stuff. But yeah, no, it's cool. There's definitely some cool stuff in here. There's a Jeff Lemire thing in here, too. So the guy that does Sweet Tooth. So
is this the one, the Carla Speed McNeil one?
Yeah, Carla Speed McNeil thing that's very autobiographical about her.
Her son with Down syndrome, which is just a personal story that's really good.
Yeah. So the best thing about this is that it benefits the CBLDF. So.
Right. And it's got Naked Elephant Man.
It does.
So if you've read the comic Elephant Man and you ever wanted to see what their junk looks like, you can find out in this. So yeah, it's kind of hard to talk about these things that have little, they're all like little one page stories. So, you know, it's like,
or some are five or six, like the Thompson ones.
Yeah.
Like
and actually the Thompson one is 8 pages. So, but it's worth it just for that.
Yeah.
And it's worth it. Yeah. Like Nick said, just to support the CBLDF. All right. So moving on to, Daniel Clowes, Death Ray hardcover by Daniel Clowes.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, well, yeah, you guys know who Daniel Clowes is. Maybe people don't. Daniel Clowes wrote probably Ghost World is his most famous thing.
Yep. It
was made into a film. He did a series called 8-Ball for a long time, which I assume
comic
is
series,
still going.
In theory.
Potentially. It doesn't come out
once
very often.
Every year or two.
What else? Wilson, just this last year. A couple other things. I mean, he's done a bunch of stuff. But this is a story that was originally in 8-Ball number 23. Kind of the same way the Ice Haven was originally a comic issue, and then they made it into a graphic novel. But it's the exact same story, but it's a good story.
So if you already had that, you don't need this, except it's a really nice addition.
Now, Jared and I both read this years ago, but Nick read this today. So Nick, why don't you tell people what Death Ray is about?
Yeah, I'd seen like previews for the hardcover coming out, and I was like, that looks awesome. And I actually sort of remember it coming out in 8-Ball, but I hadn't read it at the time. And I thought this was pretty incredible. It's I actually didn't think there would be a Death Ray in it, but there actually is a Death Ray in it. And basically the main character is like, it's very much like a Daniel Clowes story. It's like kind of just about these people in this town. And the main character, Andy, right?
Yep.
Yeah. He's with his friend. His friend's like, oh, smoke a cigarette. And then he finds out that cigarettes give him superpowers.
Right. Yep. They're kind of these two kind of downtrodden kids who are bullied a lot.
Yeah.
And Andy finds out that his dad kind of did experiments on him when he was younger so that he wouldn't be a wimp.
Yeah.
And so when he smokes his first cigarette at age 17, even though I think his dad was thought he was going to start smoking at age 13.
Yeah.
But he gets these superpowers, but kind of more importantly, they get this death ray.
Yeah.
And which allows them to just make things disappear.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of about the struggle that takes place between them as friends and kind of, you know, like that kind of power struggle between people who don't have any power and then both have power and sudden, like what yeah. they want. Yeah, mixed with a bunch of really sad sack personal stories.
Yeah, there's some like sad stuff. Yeah, yeah.
In a very Dan Clowes fashion.
I mean, yep. One of the first things they do is with the death ray is help like his best friend's sister's ex husband.
Oh yeah, yeah.
deal with his sister. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it's definitely crazy, but it's good stuff. I think it's actually one of Dan Clowes' best things.
Yeah. I think so. Like Ice Haven might be a little stronger. This was because Ice Haven had all the different styles in it, right?
Yeah, Ice Haven was the mystery one that had like the Leopold and Loeb story in it. Yeah. And I really like David Boring a lot too.
David Boring too.
But Death Ray is great. And yeah. and the presentation of this book is fantastic. I mean, it's a really nice oversized hardcover. The printing's beautiful. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You put it on your coffee table to confuse your friends.
Yeah. So no, that's definitely It's tough. There wasn't a lot this week, but there were a few really good things. That's definitely one of the best ones. All right, so moving on to Drag Bandits. This is by Colleen Frakes and Betsy Swardick. This is, I think, the second book in this new retrofit line.
Yeah, they just started publishing stuff.
They did the James Kolchaka's Fungus, which we talked about yep. a few podcasts ago, and this is just the new thing they're doing. It's like a little one-off by Colleen Frakes and, Swardick. Jared, why don't you tell people what this is about? I know you like this a good bit.
All right, this one was really strange, but basically it's a, kind of swashbuckling Victorian era, old-timey book where the main character is a guy who will take his wife's, huge dresses that they wore back in the day and get dressed up as the drag bandit and then go out and rob people.
And, they're riding dresses?
Yes. There you go. Riding dresses. But of course, having done this, he then gets involved in Over His Head and gets his wife involved too in their shenanigans.
And I guess I liked this book well enough, but my biggest problem with it is basically what you just said is everything.
That's true.
It's like there's not a lot to this book, I didn't feel like.
Yeah, no. But it's funny. I thought it was, I thought it was cute enough, and there were some funny jokes here and there. And it's, for like what it is, like a short little kind of story, it's fun.
Yeah, I don't know. It's certainly different.
No, it's definitely different. The art felt a little rushed to me, which is unfortunate.
Oh, really?
When I was reading it, I got a sense like that the humor was very similar, like something Kate Beaton would do, but maybe not quite as funny to me. Like I didn't actually ever laugh while I was reading this.
Right. No.
I don't know. I love books like this, so I don't want to say it's bad because it's not bad.
Yeah, and I like the one before, so this is like the second one in the series, so there'll be like different one every.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm definitely very interested in the fact that somebody's putting out new mini comics that are kind of these one shots by different people.
Yeah.
But it's all right.
I liked it.
Yeah. Jared liked it a lot. Nick liked it some.
Yeah,
and I liked it some. I just didn't love it. All right. Moving on. We're going fast this week.
Except when you keep pausing. Except for when I keep pausing.
Well, I keep checking to see how long it's been. It's not as fast as I think. All right. So next up is Legion of Monsters number one. This is by Dennis Hopeless, who I don't know Dennis Hopeless.
I don't either.
I feel like I read something he wrote, but I couldn't.
He sounds like he's in a punk band. He does. And
the Hopeless Savages, perhaps.
And Juan Doe, who is amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's drawn a bunch of stuff, which I couldn't think of anything today except that Spanish language Fantastic Four thing that he did. But I know he's done a bunch of other stuff. So this is basically, this is a 4-issue miniseries from Marvel about a bunch of the Marvel monsters, like
vampires,
Morbius and
Frankenstein dudes and that sort of monsters.
And basically, like, a lot of these guys are kind of civilized now, and there's somebody who's turning them back into savages.
Yeah.
And Elsa Bloodstone, who's a character from Next Wave,
who is a famous monster hunter.
Yeah, and she's a monster hunter. She's kind of checking it out, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's all great fun. Like, I love the art. I mean,
yeah, Wando's art,
the way he draws each character is amazing. They all have distinct body types, and but also, like, the thing I like the most about this is kind of reminded me of Frankencastle, because all these characters were in Frankencastle.
It's basically a follow-up to Frankencastle.
Yeah, and this city was like introduced in Frankencastle, and I don't know, the Marvel monsters are some of my favorite characters.
Yeah, it's the same like sewer underground city from Frankencastle, right? And I think they might have even called themselves the Legion of Monsters at some point in that storyline.
But this is like the goofy side of Marvel, that like all their cool, weird characters that are monsters brought together. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's very over the top. One thing I like about these Marvel, the smaller series like this, is that they'll take risks. I mean, not to always compare Marvel and DC, but this is like the kind of thing that you would never see from DC, except I guess they have that Frankenstein book right now. But
this is kind of like this.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's a lot of fun. If you like Next Wave too, I mean, it kind of has that feel to it of like people punching each other in the face a lot and talking about it. No, but it's cool. I mean, we all liked it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot It's a lot of setup in this first issue. I think there are going to be a lot of big monster fights coming up down the line.
There are some big fights in this one.
Yeah, that's true. And it's very colorful, very action-packed. It's fun. All right, so moving on to another big, huge, gigantic book called Marvel Firsts of the 1960s. So this is a new thing they're doing. They're going to do a 70s one as well, and I assume an 80s and 90s.
I hope they do a 50s one.
I don't think they're going to do a 50s one, but but so basically this is a lot of first issues and first appearances from Origin Marvel Comics. The interesting thing about this, I will say, it's a 480 page book in full color for $30.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And I think kind of one of the most interesting things about it. Well, it's like Amazing Spider-Man or Amazing Fantasy 15, X-Men number one, Thor number one.
Journey into Mystery.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All the big superheroes from back then.
Yeah, mixed in with stuff like the first Rawhide Kid from the 60s, the first Two-Gun Kid from the 60s. There's one this character called Dr. Droom, who was like their first kind of superpowered character from the 60s, who predates, he's like a cult character that predates Doctor Strange. So mixed in with all the big stuff, there's a lot of weird stuff like that in here. But it's all like Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko and Don Heck and all these guys. And the cool thing is it's all in chronological order.
Oh, interesting.
Like you see, you know, that like Avengers number one and X-Men number one came out in like the same month.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, you know, I think that stuff's cool.
Yeah,
I mean, probably a lot of people already know that, but
Just to see the evolution of the company, because it's so rare that you get. I mean, you could write like FF books and then X Men, but you're not going to read them the order they came out.
Right. You know? Exactly. So, and I mean, I probably don't have to say there's so much high quality stuff in here. All these early Marvel things from the 60s. Yeah, they were awesome.
Yeah, they're great. There you go. Buy it.
Yep. Buy it. That's it. Yeah, we're not giving you any information.
This but was moment. It on the back of the old Marvel comics? There's like Jack Kirby at his drawing table. It says like Kirby says, "Don't ask, just buy it."
Yeah, exactly. There so listen to Jack Kirby and do it. All right. So moving on to My Greatest Adventure number one. That's all I'm going to say. Somebody else talk for a minute.
Whose greatest adventure was this? I don't understand.
It was well, according to this, it's my greatest adventure.
But, no, but it's my like the people who wrote it.
Well, the reason it's called My Greatest Adventure.
Wouldn't it be your greatest adventure if it was yours?
Is this an old
title? It's because there was an old comic called My Greatest Adventure.
Yeah. No copyright renewal whatsoever involved.
Yeah.
The thing about this is it's there was a series called Weird Worlds that was out last year. And this is kind of a continuation of it. Six or seven.
Yeah.
This is kind of a continuation with it, except with one added bonus. There's a new Robot Man story by Matt Kent and Scott Collins. It's some of Scott Collins' best art ever seen.
So good on it. Yeah.
And Matt Kent is more known for a lot of indie stuff.
Yeah, like Super Spy and Three Story. And
this is the first bunch of stuff. This is the first thing I've seen him write for like Marvel or DC, and I haven't seen him do anything for that. Yeah. And
I mean, this is Robot Man from Doom Patrol.
Yeah,
but it's not Robot Man from Doom Patrol.
Yeah, it's a whole new Robot Man for the new DC universe, and he's completely different. Well, he's kind of different from the old Robot Man, I guess.
But definitely, like, the story that he's in is completely different because he's this kind of hyper intelligent robot detective.
Yeah,
and what you were talking about earlier that's interesting is like, because he doesn't have any adrenaline or anything, he's kind of like very distant from everything that's happening to him, which is interesting to read in these action scenes.
Yeah, he's detached from everything.
Yeah. And besides, I mean, it's a cool story. It's a cool setup. And there's a big twist at the end.
It's a great cliffhanger, yeah.
Because it's a DC comic, number one.
That's what they do.
And I'll say there are two other stories in here.
You get a Garbage Man story that Aaron Lopresti wrote and drew. And then you get Kevin Maguire returning, doing a Tonga story, was Garbage Man in the...
Yeah, Garbage Man and Tonga were both in Weird Worlds.
I know Tonga was, yeah.
So they've removed Lobo.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if Lobo exists in the new DC universe.
Good question.
Uh-huh. But, and then they've replaced it with this Robot Man story. The other two stories are okay.
The Tonga ones.
The Tonga ones, yeah. The Tonga one's cool. Kevin
Just
Maguire.
For the art, you should buy anything he does.
Through all the old Justice League International
It's
stuff.
Funny and lighthearted. It's good.
Yeah. But the Robot Man one is very cool, and it's very cool to see Matt Kent kind of moving into that space. Him and Jeff Lemire are good friends. So wow. I got to imagine that at some point Jeff Lemire was like, hey, get my buddy to write this comic. And it works out.
Yeah.
So it's good. It was fun. It was better than I expected it to be, actually. Yeah. When I picked it up, I didn't know Matt Kent was writing it. And then he was. And I was happy to see that.
There you go.
Yeah. So moving on to only Jared read this book. So Jared, why don't you tell people about Rip Haywire
and the Curse of Tangaroa. So this is an one from IDW, but I have no idea where this guy came from.
I think this was a webcomic.
Yeah, I think it was a webcomic.
That explains a lot.
By Dan Thompson.
There's a lot of webcomic-iness about this. Basically, so this is a graphic novel. It's a kind of very pulp adventure thing where Rip Haywire is the name of the guy who goes around and he's like trying to hunt down ghosts who have like hidden a treasure. It's like that kind of old style stuff. And he's got a talking dog sidekick.
Yeah.
And there's just the beautiful girl spy that's kind of his love interest and rival. And
just by flipping through it, it seems a lot like Venture Brothers or like Johnny Quest.
Yeah. It's very similar to like Johnny Quest and like, but it's got an art style, I'd say, similar to like
Caniff sort of.
Yeah. Or like,
but
like Bruce Timm.
Yeah.
A little Darwin Cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Bruce Timm or Darwin Cook had tried to draw an Alex Raymond style thing.
Or like Clutch Cargo. Do you guys know what Clutch Cargo is?
I do not, but
that's a really old cartoon. That was one of the ones where they had like people's mouths.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
In the animation.
Yeah. Those were terrible. But yeah. But yeah, this one's really good. He'll do like, you know, 10 or 20 pages of just straight up adventure. And then he'll do like one page that's in the style of Peanuts or one page that's in the style of like, you know, some other old comic strip or whatever. And so it kind of mixes up. But colored really well, fun little story, just kind of pulpy, fun adventure. There you go. Like Lil Rip talking about him as a kid in the style of Steve Canyon or whatever.
Yeah, it looks like it's mixed with stories from his childhood.
Yeah, a lot of flashbacks to him, like telling his story and how he met this girl and all that, the spy girl.
Yeah, I didn't read the whole thing. I read about 30 pages of it. But
like a toon one that's done like the old like cartoon style from the
50s. Yeah, like it looks like Gene Deitch, actually.
Gene Deitch, yeah.
But no, it's cool, though. It's fun. It was, you know, we ordered it for the store because of the style.
It looked good. And then, yeah.
And then the writing's like totally goofy and in a totally fun way. I could see like Bruce Campbell playing Rip Haywire if they ever made a movie.
This is like
a
Bruce Campbell comic.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So it's fun. It's definitely, definitely worth checking out. All right. So moving on to Shade number 1 of 12.
Good grief.
This is by James Robinson and Cully Hamner. Of course, Shade's a character from Starman.
Yep.
The James Robinson series. And Cully Hamner. Drew
Red
Blue Beetle.
Yep, we talked
current
about
Blue Beetle.
We already talked about all the stuff Cully Hamner.
Yeah, he's good.
Drew before, but I haven't read enough Starman to talk about this, so I'm gonna pass this on to you guys.
Oh, passing the buck.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you read Starman, and even if you read some of the recent Justice League stuff, because he was in that too. But
well, kind of, right?
Terrible. Yeah, he was in it for a while. But anyway, this is basically kind of a. It's almost like a sequel to some of the Starman stuff. It's got some of the characters like
a lot of the
Hope O'Dare is in it. And it's basically just Shade kind of like he's talking to Starman. Well, the current Starman, which is Michael, who was also in the Starman stuff.
Yes.
But he's it's like around the time of his birth, like his birthday, well, his creation. And he's kind of bummed out about it. And he's dating the O'Dare girl. And he's just kind of feeling bummed, and then something really crazy happens. And actually, for the first half of this, I didn't actually know if this was taking, like, I was like, does this really take place in the new DCU? Because it seems exactly like the old DC universe. And then I was like, oh wait, no, yeah definitely does.
Yeah, because, well, we can tell people what happens, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Deathstroke shows up, and you can tell it's the new DC universe because he has a bunch of pouches.
Yeah, he looks like the new Deathstroke.
Yep.
But I will say, Cully Hamner's drawing of Deathstroke makes him so much cooler looking. He's like such a badass. I'm like, I wish this was, you know.
I wish Cully Hamner drew a lot more.
Me too.
Comics.
Yeah, so the art in this is really good.
It's great.
As somebody who hasn't read a lot of the old Starman series, I think I've read the first hardcover. I don't know the Shade character that well, so
yeah, he's really important to Starman, but without that background,
yeah. So I didn't really get into this too much. I really liked the art, but I wasn't getting too excited about the stories. So, but coming from the other side of it, because you guys have both read a bunch of Starman, I mean, was it a cool Shade story?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, and it's definitely the best thing James Robinson's written in a while.
Yeah, that would definitely.
It feels
be
like
true.
A character he knows really well.
I didn't even like it that much, and I felt it like it was the best thing that we've read in a while.
And he does a good enough job of introducing the character with, like, if you don't know too much about him, you find out, you know, like how he's immortal. And
yeah,
he has,
you get
crazy
the basics.
Powers,
you just don't have the emotional weight that the character's built up over that time. But good.
So a good one for Starman fans. But if you haven't actually read Starman, I would say it's probably not worth picking up.
Yeah, I mean, flip through it, and you might want to buy it on the art alone.
Yeah, the art is
good enough, but yeah, it's definitely intended for a Starman audience.
All right, so moving on, we are going to talk about definitely one of my favorite books this week, and this is Troop 142. This is a graphic novel by Mike Dawson. I read all this was all online, but I bought all the mini comics from Mike last year at SPX, and they finally collected all of them together in this book, and it is fantastic.
It's excellent.
It's about basically a troop, a Boy Scout troop that's on a 1 week like summer camp.
Yeah, in the 90s.
In the 90s. and it's all broken up. I like it. It's broken up day by day, which I think is pretty interesting. Yeah. And it's just about how these kids, you know, they have their cliques and they're mean to each other. And, you know, they're the kind of two main characters are these sort of outcasts. And their dad is one of the camp counselors. But he's almost in the same position as they are because the other camp counselor is like kind of this rough and tough dude. And he's this wimpy guy with glasses. Yeah. And I don't know.
And these are all kids that are kind of right at the point where they're kind of outgrowing Boy Scouts. They're a little older and they're starting to like become, they're basically like teenagers, you know? And so they're starting to experiment with stuff like they experiment with drugs, and they talk a lot about girls, and there's a lot of boner jokes and stuff like that. But, it's just a great like character.
Yeah, every character introduced in this has got a lot of personality and uniqueness to them, and they interact really well and often in terrible ways. But yeah, it's fascinating to see all of them.
I will say all the characters are great, like you guys said. But the one thing I love about this is Mike Dawson's art is like, it doesn't look like anybody else's art. I don't know. There's something about his art that I just love so much. It's very cartoony. But like you look at it and you know it's Mike Dawson, and it has like a lot of personality, and he's very good. Like he doesn't overdraw.
No,
I don't know. There's just it's
really good.
Yeah, it's hard to explain art to people, but it's a really
all of the characters ring true, and I think a lot of that is because it's a lot based on a lot of his experiences, because I know he was a Boy Scout and he mentioned it in the back,
right,
and stuff like that, and it's great. It's just. It's like really, really good character work.
I think it's cool too. I think the kids and the adults are both written very well because I think partly because he had that experience as a Boy Scout, but also now as a parent, he can kind of see it from the other side of things as well. So it's a great book. It's fantastic. His other book, Freddie and Me, is also very, very good, which is about how when he was a kid, he loved Freddie Mercury. highly, highly, highly recommended.
Very much
might
so.
Be my favorite of the week.
Yeah, I think it's probably my favorite book of the week. Maybe only because I read Death Ray before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Nick's favorite book is Cabbie, but
they're so completely different that I think they're kind of tied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But moving on to another book that I also thought was great. This is The Unexpected, number one. This is a new anthology from Vertigo, a one shot. This is very much in the vein of the Strange Adventures one shot they did last year, but instead of being sci-fi stuff, this is all horror comics.
Yes.
Cool.
The first thing that jumps out about this book is the cover by Raphael Grandpa.
So good.
It's so good. I wish he would do more. The only thing, he did Mesmo Delivery Service.
Yeah.
And he's done covers here and there.
He did a story in Strange Tales too.
He did. Yeah. That Wolverine wrestling story. That was really incredible. So this has a ton of really good people in it. Dave Gibbons does this great kind of take on Houdini that's also like this kind of murder story.
Writes and draws it.
He does. He writes and draws it. There's a story called Dogs, which is... All these stories have very like Twilight Zone-y twists in them, so you kind of can't say too much about them. But everything in here is good. It's G. Willow Wilson does some of it. There's a zombie story by Jill Thompson. There is a Aztec god monster story by Farrell Dalrymple. There's this crazy caveman story by Jeffrey Rotter and
really
Lelio Bonacorso. And there's a post-apocalyptic story by David Lapham. There's so much good stuff in here. Probably the one that stood out the most to me was there's a story by Brian Wood called Americana with art by Emily Carroll, who I actually haven't seen do comics before.
Yeah, I've never heard of her, but she, I mean, like we said, the rest of this book is amazing, this issue, but she blows them away.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Her art is so good. It's
post-apocalyptic, weird, you know, mother and daughter trying to survive.
But a very kind of life-affirming post-apocalyptic story.
Yeah, like all of them.
yeah. Like The Road.
No, don't read The Road.
But definitely if you're a fan of horror at all, check this out. And if you just want to read something completely different,
Well, I'm not a real big fan of horror, and I thought it was great.
It's definitely one of the best anthologies I've read in a long time, because usually anthologies are like hit or miss. All of these were good.
Yeah, there's not really a weak spot in this. The only thing that I didn't really get into was there's a preview of a new Vertigo series in the back, but I wouldn't even consider that part of it. So, yeah. a great, great book. And, yeah, a nice long read, too. It is a little expensive at $7.99.
But it's, what, like 80 pages long?
Or even longer than that,
I think. It's not really like 96 that expensive.
Pages. Yeah, so, an awesome book. And moving on to our last book of the week. This is X-Men Regenesis. This is a one-shot. By Jason Aaron and Billy Tan. And this is kind of wrapping up the stuff that happened in X-Men Schism.
It's the epilogue, basically.
Yeah. Nick, I mean, why don't you tell people what Regenesis is about?
Coming out in the next few weeks is Uncanny X-Men number 1 and Wolverine and the X-Men number 1, which are going to be two distinct X-teams. And this basically tells you how each kind of character picks a team, picks what team they're on, like who's going to go with Wolverine, who's going to stay with Cyclops. And you get a pretty... It's really well written, and you really like feel like, yeah, that makes sense. This is why he would go with here. This is why why Rogue would go here, why Beast would go here, and stuff like that. But also makes me kind of excited that the two books. Well, actually, really makes me more excited a little bit for Wolverine and the X-Men because Wolverine's a little cooler than Cyclops. But
what we were talking about, that basically Schism is about like the two splitting off and they kind of fight each other. Now, me, like, Cyclops is, like, a bad guy now because he's, like, Wolverine's enemy.
Yeah.
But I think you're totally right. You get, like, a really good sense of why each of these characters make these decisions as to which teams they're going to go to.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's
like a character study of every X-Men character.
Yeah. And you were saying, I mean, Kieran Gillen, who wrote this, is going to be writing Uncanny X-Men now, right?
Yeah, which will be great.
I'm sure. Which is like that. This gets me excited for that because I wasn't particularly excited for that. But reading this, I'm like, well, Gillen has a really good feel for all these characters. Yeah. So I will say one thing is there's this kind of stupid, or to me, stupid thing that's going on that's supposed to be kind of like a metaphor for the main story.
Yeah.
That's like, it's just like a panel here and there of like them as like these cavemen that are like joining these different tribes, and then at the end they like walk off into the sunset. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
But besides that, which is
kind of fun, you get to see all the X-Men look like cave, dressed up like cave people.
It's Colossus has like a bear skin around his neck and stuff. But besides that, which is like 10 or 12 panels of the whole book, it's not really that important. It was just really good. I mean, if you read Schism and you follow X-Men at all, I'd say definitely pick this
book. Yeah, and if you're gonna start reading any of the new books, this is a pretty good starting point. And pretty excited. I'm pretty excited, especially because I want to see old school X-Men stuff with like Wolverine that's teaching people at school with like Beast and stuff. It sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah. So those books will be coming out in like 2 weeks. I think Wolverine and the X-Men comes out in 2 weeks, and then Uncanny X-Men in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And we'll be reviewing those like we review books every week.
That's what we do
on the Big Planet Comics podcast. I think we came in under an hour.
Right.
I think I'm going to talk about the fact that we came in under an hour for 7 minutes.
Until we go over now.
Until we go over. No, I think we're done.
We're done.
Yep. All right, cool. We'll see you guys next time.
All right. Bye.